Selamat datang dalam podcast Ask a CISO persembahan Horangi Cybersecurity. Bergabunglah bersama kami untuk mendapatkan wawasan mengenai tren keamanan cyber langsung dari pakarnya. Namun sebelumnya, pastikan Anda menekan tombol like, subscribe, dan tinggalkan komentar melalui channel YouTube, Spotify, dan Apple Podcast. Serta nyalakan tombol lonceng untuk mendapatkan notifikasi dari setiap episode terbaru kami yang sayang untuk Anda lewatkan.
Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Ask a CISO podcast powered by Horangi. And today with me, Adi, Principal Cybersecurity Consultant in Horangi, and I'll be presenting our podcast for today. And before we introduce our guest and start our podcast, as usual, I want to remind you, the listener, to don't forget to like, subscribe, and also follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, yeah, and help us grow. Okay, so today, for today's topic, we will talk about AI, and especially how AI can potentially, or already actually, disrupting and transforming the cybersecurity domains. And yeah, AI having a lot of advantage, actually. For example, like analyzing massive data and speeding up the response times, right? And augmenting the under-resourced security operations, for example, right? But all, like all technology before AI, aside for advantage, they always come with the downside as well. And yeah, for example, like the sensitive nature of the data they are actually analyzed, there are a lot of sensitive nature like PII, and also the second one maybe regarding the skill that required. This is AI's different level of skill, and we still have like shortage of professional, especially with necessary skills regarding AI and cybersecurity, right? So, yeah, to further discuss pro and cons about AI role in cybersecurity, I'm joined today with Pak Yusuf Purna. Pak Yusuf is a very veteran cyber professional and leader with more than 25 years experience in IT and cybersecurity as well. And from his resume, I also see a lot of domains in his experience, including IT architecture, cyber risk management, and also risk compliance. And he has experience in multiple roles as well, including as a lecturer, a consultant, engineer, developers, management, and leadership role. Yeah, and currently, Pak Yusuf works as a chief cyber risk officer in MTI Limited, based in Tokyo, Japan. So yeah, hello, Pak Yusuf. Welcome to Ask a CISO podcast. Very honored that you have joined the show. Yeah. So, ogenki desu ka?
Thank you again, Mas Adi. I'm Genki. Oh, you can speak Japanese well. And again, I'm Freddy. It's my honor to join this show. And again, I'm doing well. So that's excited to delve into this important conversation about AI and cybersecurity, Mas Adi.
Okay. Glad to hear. Okay. So before we talk the serious topic, can you share a bit about your career journey? So how you start and how you transition from your first career to currently focusing in cybersecurity?
Again, so sure that I started my career in IT and then working as a software engineer first when I was in the Sony. And then as I progressed in my career, and I found that I was drawn to the challenge of the keeping system and data secure. So and the complexity of cybersecurity intrigued me and led me to transition from IT to cybersecurity. And the key is I believe in, again, it's not only in IT, but not only in AI or not only cybersecurity, that always being adaptable and always learning is a necessity and the fast, this fast-paced technical world. That's my background story.
I see. Okay. So yeah, you are like very, very veteran in IT and cybersecurity, and you also completed your PhD as well, right? Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, you eager to learning new expertise, right? And I also noticed you are recently completing all CISSP concentrations, right? So what exactly motivate you? What push you until so far?
Again, smallly on again, if you're still working on this area, and it's not maybe even in IT and cybersecurity, and usually I'm a believer in the mantra of learning is lifelong journey. It's just, so that's in the world of cybersecurity, for example, the landscape is ever evolving with the new threats and technology emerging regularly. To stay ahead and off the curve is usually continuous learning. It's not just an option, but it's kind of necessity. So that's why that particularly that always changes today, and usually you need to adapt that as long as you still work on that area. So that's try to motivate that. And again, why usually I like chasing many, not chasing it, just to like many certifications, just to kind of motivations, just to to evaluate that I know the subject or not. This kind of motivation for me. That is, again, to make sure that I can keep up with the current technology. That's everything. I think not only me, that everything, maybe Masadi the same thing, that as long as you're still working on the cybersecurity, you always do have to learn. That's maybe the bottom story.
Okay, thank you for the inspiration, Pak Yusuf. Okay, so maybe the next question regarding your feelings here. So you have like careers like more than 25 years since 1998, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
1998, right? So I believe you have been like become a witness of a shift of a lot of era. As far as I know, 90s is still in analog eras, right? So
yeah.
Everything start to being digitalized, right? So I still learn. I remember listen the music with video cassette, tape, right?
Yeah.
And then in 90s to 2000s, I think there is a transitions from analog to digitalization.
Yeah,
now everything is digitalized, right? Yeah. I was still like students back then, right? School, but you already start your career and you already like working, right? And then now I think we are shifting to another era as well, right? Which is AI era. And how your personal feelings? How is your reflection in hindsight about never ending revolution about IT and cyber technology?
Yeah, again, it's a kind of incredible journey here. That is the shift from the analog to digital era transform every aspect of our lives. As you know, again, mostly that, even though in Japan, a lot of people have mobile phone. I mean, we don't have any landline phone number again. Maybe you still have, but some young people, they don't have any landline phone number. All have mobile phone. And that's really that changes a lot of things. Also, as you mentioned that maybe in the beginning you have a cassette tape and now I think you don't see it again, even with CD. I mean, online and everything that maybe even iTunes, maybe more than iTunes, that is stuff like that. So, and now as we are stepping into the AI area, that I believe we are on brink of yet another paradigm shift. Despite the challenges, I find that the continuous evolution accelerating. And keep us on our two that always learning, adapting. It means that, again, because it's very fast here, again, back again about the learning, how then have you, you need to just adjust, adapt on that. And you need to embrace all the new things, make sure you evaluate this, and then that's make use of in your life. This is maybe the key here, yeah, Masadi.
Understood. Okay. So, now going to the topic on the AI. So you are a leadership members, right? You are a chief cyber risk officer in your company. So as a leadership members, right? So how do you think AI can enhance the cybersecurity posture on your organization? What is the approach in your opinion?
Again, so when AI coming, I think, Even when I got PhD in AI, but back again 20 years ago, before we have a kind of high technology hardware. So that's, we cannot imagine with trillion parameter in LLM now, because in the time is only maybe more, just 10 or 20 parameter. So, but again, you know, with the current AI coming in the wave, it has, first we just to embrace this in our, I mean, even in your organizations, make sure that you don't avoid that, because if you avoid that, you will be, I mean, be late to sleep after going later. So you have to embrace this. And because that will be another, the AI has potential to significantly enhance your organization's security posture. For example, by automating the routine tasks, I think it frees up of cybersecurity professional to focus on more complex problems. And furthermore, the predictive capability can help in proactively identifying and mitigating threats. So shifting from reactive to be more on proactive defense and strategy. So that's one thing that, but again, because the pace is very fast, just make sure before you embrace and your organization, make sure that you also have a guideline, make sure you're also approaching reaching three pillar in security, like the people, the technology, and the process. So means that make sure, because if you don't prepare the guideline, the policy, people will start switching AI, the shadow AI. So that make sure you have that guideline, what not to do or what to do. And then you have also, if you have already cyber management program or kind of ISMS or kind of things, you also just make sure that this program also includes this AI as well, how to treat that. And technology, now, you know, I think we're starting with ChatGPT and starting with Microsoft as well. You know, Microsoft started with Copilot security. That's you start evaluating the technology that embrace AI into your operations. So this can be maybe the steps that we need to think, to make sure that to manage our security posture of our organizations.
All right. So you mentioned about proactive defense, right? As we know, we as a defender also will face our advisory. Enemy, attackers, right? Attackers, which is going to our systems, right? So, how do you think about the race between attackers and defenders? So, are we still possible to actually winning the race? With attackers or what going to happen here?
This is because usually like the research on AI itself is coming from open source, so that's what we need to think here, is that AI is usually like technology that double-edged swords mean that one day they can do it, ensuring that we can utilize in our side, but again the attacker also will utilize the same thing. So that's I mean, although, for example, they will have regulation or maybe as a country itself, I think, you know, in Europe, they create another AI kind of act or AI law that maybe kind of GDPR, they will try to regulate AI like this. But even if it happen again, because the technology itself is, again, even the attacker can have it the same thing. As you know, even they have not only, I think they have maybe what they call warm GPT or fraud GPT that have the same capability like ChatGPT that maybe the attacker can use to help them to create malicious code, for example. So that's the same thing here, that they have all the technology itself. So that case, what I'm getting here, that make sure the transparency and trust in AI systems are crucial, and the key is to incorporate explainability into our system, AI system, which means that we want to make sure that the decision making by AI itself can be answered by humans, so that they really explain about the decisions, how to make this and how us to make decisions. And I think that's pretty much of that we have to take care of that.
All right. So you mentioned about decision making, right? So there is a problem in AI where there is automated decisions, right? Made without human insight or maybe with minimal human involvement or insight, right? The black box problem. Right. So how do you see this issue impacting AI and cybersecurity? Are we how we actually consider the trustworthiness, the transparency of a system utilizing AI?
The key again, I think I just said recently, people, they say, sometimes you can see as black box as indeed a challenge. And again, the transparency and trust in AI system are crucial. And the incorporate, what you want to make sure that when AI decide to come something a solution, so just make sure that AI can have explainability that into our the system that can be understood by the humans. So what I want to bring audience here, just to make sure that we just don't rely on all this their answer. Again, we make sure that the final decision is still our side. I mean, the human side. So that's why I know Microsoft a little bit. I'm not from Microsoft, but I know Microsoft a little bit. So that's why Microsoft say Copilot. This is because that because it's Copilot, so not that. Copilot means that it's Copilot. I mean, you are still the pilot. So that's they will advise you something, and then again, and for example, in the decision, you have to make sure that okay, I will do this. This is at the current situation. So that's make sure that you always review first about the final answer from the system itself. If not sure, you can also just ask them to give to explain how they can come up with these solutions. And then usually in cyber system, may be very straightforward as long as you know the background. So that's you can also just double check again what with your knowledge. So that's maybe one thing that we need to do when we use the AI systems here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so you also mentioned about the continual learning, yeah, like upskilling to AI. So what kind of like AI aspect that cybersecurity professional need to learn? So can you share your thought about it?
First of all, again, just learn now what kind of solution. The first thing AI will help you that for predictive. They have the predictive analytic capability that's very fast. I mean, with lots of data, they can circle up with the data. So for example, to have let's say you have many sensor and security, they can very easily based on the lot of data and can give you create, for example, with kind of symptom we have. For example, you're under reconnaissance or you're under maybe some attack attacking you. They can give you it was like this. So, and outside is just we make sure that you know what your background itself. We utilize the tool itself, and then we just really double check. Okay, if that's the case, I need what I need to do, and then they also guide you. Maybe okay, if that's the case, maybe you know to the A, and just make sure that they can explain what you need to do. So that's maybe. The situations. And now what you need to learn here is to make sure that I think it's not only for a cybersecurity professional but for everybody that to make sure that everything when you start doing nothing the smart at the moment the situation is the smarter you are the more that you can utilize ChatGPT because you know that to create this very email, it's very troublesome. I can just give point plus create good emails. You can just like this.
Yeah.
So that's, but when coming, for example, kind of difficult tasks, you still need to do by yourself. So that's what I want to say here. You still need to, again, to enhance your knowledge even on the decision making itself and the IT productivity. Mm-hmm. But again, for collecting data, for maybe for get the solution from a lot of data itself, you can just rely on that. That's so when you know when to use the AI tool, at the moment you can utilize this tool, and then it really will increase your productivity and even in decision making and also in problem solutions.
Understood. Okay. I think that's a good point as well. Yeah, because. I think ChatGPT is like one common tool right now.
As you know, if people doesn't know anything, maybe doesn't really interest it. But if you know how to use it, okay, maybe a lot of people talk about prompt engineering. Okay, so you'll craft your prompt, and then you can create prompt as. There were a lot of books to create from. I mean, I think based on that, you can you can have the good answer, for example, as you expect.
All right. In your opinion, what is the challenge? So what is the challenge to formulating AI policies or formulating or establishing AI solution, especially in cybersecurity. So can you share your thoughts about it?
So the challenge, again, first that because, like I mentioned before, let's make sure that you have great guideline. Now, again, gradually you will have, even Japan government will try to create, they'll try to follow Europe with the law. But I think before, we cannot just read the law until they're ready. So that's, even correct. Now, yeah, Japan government start try using, so in even school itself, so in education, so for example, ministry, they start guideline. So the same in your organizations. Okay, before people start doing a lot of without telling you that they're doing a lot of AI to the install on any Mind Journey or ChatGPT and their desktop, make sure you start create guideline. And for example, make sure that you don't put like PII, you don't put like company trade secrets to the ChatGPT or something like that. So make sure you have, and maybe if necessary, also you maybe need to create, for example, training that this is what you can do, this is what you cannot do. Because without that, usually even for me, for example, when you know that this tool can help me in kind of something task, you see, you forget that maybe you have a lot of information that maybe you should not tell outside. But because, example, tomorrow I have a meeting and I know I have to create summary, create that like slide, PowerPoint slide to show, for example, as CEO, I used to show what's the profitability of this company. And then you don't have time. If you know the prompt, you can just ask ChatGPT, I give you this data, just create me 5 slides for these presentations. So, and they can like your secretary, they give you maybe in a minute. And but you don't know behind that, you provide maybe the data that maybe you should not give to the outside of ChatGPT because this is really, really about company data. So that's an important thing to tell the people that, for example, before they start learning, for example, start using that this is what you can do. For example, make sure that they should not put like the personal information or company trade secret in the ChatGPT. And maybe also if they want to use that, make sure they're masking the data, something like that. So that's in the guideline.
Yeah.
And then you can formalize more on the policy, for example, that with, for example, what kind of tool that you can utilize something. So that's when they finalize that, so they understand, yeah. And then after, you can make sure that they follow that. I think they will create a lot of people start, even in my company, they start utilizing to help them to create, for example, structure. For I need to create some report, give me structure. So that's already utilized on that. Yeah. That's this kind of the challenge that maybe to follow. They to create just create guideline first. Make sure you educate the people, and that's something. And we can just utilize the AI tool in our day-to-day operation.
Understood. Okay. For maybe next questions, try to be more focused on your, of course, your expertise here, the cyber risk, right? So, can you like share insight how cyber risk program formed the foundation of AI utilizations, right? And you have case studies of how you can successfully risk management program that integrating AI.
At the moment, our company start using GitHub Copilot just to help again to review the code, to build the code itself. I think everybody utilized them. So I think so that's, but we also make sure that. We make sure that we don't put any secret to their self. So that's why I mentioned that we create first the guideline. We have the policy and we tell them about this, how to use that. So this is the first. And again, we start also utilizing to make sure that we can keep up with the current threat as well. We, of course, we more on Microsoft products. So that's why we start using like Microsoft Copilot Security. That's will be like but not only Microsoft. I think many also security tools that will try to embrace AI as well. So that's maybe the preparation in our company itself. Because more and more, as you know, and the past, again, for the BEC or what we call kind of business, email compromise that in English, you have a lot of in English and you have very beautiful in English. But in Japan, before, it's very weird. So you can recognize it. Oh, this is not normal. This is, for example, because... But now with kind of the fake of the tool itself, they can create like normal. It's not again the language, not again barrier. That means that again they can create exactly quite the same Japanese email. That even if you don't check carefully, you will be trapped into that. Yeah, for example, click the link, something like that. So that's with that we want to make sure that again there will be more on cybersecurity risks as well, because the attackers start using the AI, they start using again the fake tool. I mean, for example, they can emulate your voice, it can emulate your picture. Sometimes if you're with voice, this is with email, for example. That you can be tracked on, for example, can face because of that email. So just usually with always make sure that you always practice the cyber hygiene. Is there something urgency? You have to double check. I mean, yeah, it's not always just say yes to the email. Maybe if this look similar to the email, but you have to double check. For example, after you make a decision, maybe you need just again with the confidential, so you can just call again. Your boss, you asked me to do this. This is to make sure that it's not because usually the email, the spamming emails get more sophisticated. So that's another that we have to learn on the other. But again, when utilized again more on AI tool itself, it be on your security tools, I think they also can help you more and more to filter this kind of high sophisticated PEC or email, something like that. So that's pretty much what I can say at the moment, Adisa.
Okay. Thank you. Maybe next questions regarding the threat intelligence here. So do you have like insight how is the advantage of AI role in predictive threat intelligence? Is it something that you also try to approach as well?
Oh yeah, that's again usually, as we mentioned again, usually what happened that the traditional threat intelligence always rely on historical data and human analysis. Usually, both of which have limitation and scale and speed itself. But with AI itself, after we introduce maybe the AI tool itself, with its predictive capability, it can analyze a vast amount of data in real time and identify pattern and predict future threats. Yeah? It's like having a kind of crystal ball that has constantly updated with the latest data. As you know, when you all the tool connected to the internet, and again, you have also the data not only you have, but also maybe your vendor can provide you data. So it means like the recent have with threat intelligence, and more you can give you with what happened with your current situation, and then you can just make sure that you know the threats. Maybe you are now under attacking, something like that, very, very fast. Compared then before that, you still use like the annual or historical data and human analysis.
Okay. All right. So maybe last question from me, Yusuf Sang, regarding the privacy. So my impression is Japan is one of like the strictest privacy law, yeah, country with the strictest privacy law in the world, like maybe better from even Europe, right? Even from North America. So Japan kind of like highlighting privacy very, very seriously, right? Even in like as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, even in the public place, we cannot really like taking picture, right, to the like random peoples, right? Something like that. So how do you think the privacy aspect regarding AI will impact Japan? So our government is actually proactively approaching law or regulation regarding privacy in AI? Or if not, maybe what do you think in near future will happen?
Yeah, I think again, but I think it's more quite similar like GDPR in Europe. So, I mean, privacy in Japan itself, what do you call privacy law in Japan itself? That's more on historical. I mean, you know, in Japan it's most historical that yes, to make sure that we always just to again like your for example your origins, your ethnic. That's maybe got a little bit different compared than other countries that usually you should not ask you. This is something that and some certain area that again we have law or rule that in some certain, for example, we cannot just we have to, for example, and you have your build system, make sure that you always protect the privacy. You always like you apply encryption, stuff like that. But in other side, maybe it's not like say that when you say you cannot just take picture outside. It really depend on the situations. Usually, if you see people taking picture on YouTube, usually they will they hide the real. We always have to ask the person itself, can I take the picture? Something like that. So, but with the AI itself, again, Japanese government start try to to follow other countries. They have to make regulation, but they stop using. I mean, just to let you know, in Japanese government itself, they start using the AI, for example, to help on the government to, for example, to answer. You know, in Japan itself, they have a lot of cabinet. Usually they ask something, they will try to use AI to help answer this and to help to take notes, for example. So and they proactively embrace AI in a lot of day-to-day operations. Although they still, they will try to make sure that, again, more on privacy, that make sure that you just don't put in any privacy information on the tool itself, something like that. So we have another, we call PMark. PMark is quite, the PMark is very famous in Japan. And usually if you shop or you sell something, particularly if you sell something about data, usually you will get PMark. Even my company also get PMark. PMark is kind of, we have a certificate in privacy protection, for example. So usually we align with this, this make sure that AI itself will follow that.
Okay.
I can explain.
Thank you. I think very, very insightful, Pak Yusuf. Maybe, because of the time, I think we can end the session. Maybe before we end the session, do you have last message for the listener?
Sure. That again, once again, thank you, Pak Adi, for having me in this podcast and joining this podcast as well. And to everyone listening, so remember that this is in the ever-evolving world of cybersecurity and learning and adaptability are your greatest assets. And so embrace AI as a tool to enhance your capability, but not as a replacement for critical thinking expertise. Make sure you stay curious, keep learning, and let's build a safer digital world together.
Okay.
Again, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, once again, thank you very much, Yusuf-san, for coming. Arigato gozaimasu.
Thank you, Abi-san. Yeah, so, terima kasih.
Sama-sama. Okay. So, to you who are listening, thank you very much as well for tuning in. So, we can end this session today from Ask Asiso Podcast. This is Adi and Pak Yusuf signing off. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.